You drinking Kool-Aid to start your day? Really?
It's so good.
What kind?
Red. Kool-Aid is fucking awesome. It really is awesome. It's so good. Take a little, pour a little something for yourself. It's watered down. It's not too bad.
You really drink
Kool-Aid? Ice cool. It's ice cold. Yeah.
You are drinking Kool-Aid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
You're drinking a fucking 64 ounce
gallon of Kool-Aid.
You're like, I'm getting my day started.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnert, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
That clip is like a year old. For those who haven't heard it, that's Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura from, what's it called? Two Bears, One Cave?
Yeah, Two Bears, One Cave.
And for whatever reason, scrolling TikTok today, I've seen it reposted like 20 times. And maybe that's because it's literally 1 year ago today that it came out.
Could be.
But it fucking cracks me up every time. And that's now podcast goals.
Oh, yeah.
Not their listenership, not any, like that genuine. We've had a couple moments close.
We've had a few close over the years.
But that probably the closest was you getting waxed.
Yeah, it was a good one. But that was just you laughing. I wasn't laughing that hard.
But just that genuine, like, what the fuck, nonstop laugh, like, that, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's that thing, right? We're not on the same page as those two. I mean, and when I say we, I mean as listeners, yeah. Right? You're not on the same page as those two. But those two have whatever inside going. You know, if somebody came up and, you know, if you heard him talk about, oh, he drinks, you know, 64 ounces of Kool-Aid in the morning. Okay, haha. You move on to the next thing. But the way they, I mean, it's so personal. It just, oh, it's amazing.
It is. It just hit them perfectly.
Yeah, I fucking love it. And so I've watched it so many times. I was like, that's what we're starting with today. Nothing like telling our listeners to go listen to something better. You know.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it is. It's funny.
Yeah. So
it's always fun watching him, like, look for his Google stuff and the weird shit that pops up.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Bert.
There's one of them is you were putting best, it's come up with best nonstick, because you went best non, and then it ended up being, like, best nonstick flip-flops.
Oh.
Like, what the fuck?
I forgot I got it on sharing with my screen.
What is a nonstick flip-flop? Well, I mean, what?
Oh, what is a nonstick?
I have questions.
What is a nonstick flip-flop?
I don't know, but that's what you were looking best on. That's like one of the things that popped up. And I'm like, every once in a while, I click on something on Google because it comes up and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
I'm guilty. Or when you Google something and as you're scrolling down about midway down the page, it'll give you fucking 10 more questions somebody asked that goes along with it.
Yeah.
And I end up in fucking rabbit holes all the time.
Oh, you do, because it's just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Why is this even a question? Now I have questions and I need to understand this.
Yeah, I end up in fucking rabbit holes all the time with that shit.
Yeah.
No,
me too.
No, I saw you went and saw, something, Paws. Pause of Fury.
Pause of Fury.
This weekend.
Yes.
And
go see it.
It's a Mel Brooks. I know Mel Brooks is a voice in it. It's not a Mel Brooks film.
It's a fucking Mel Brooks film.
Is it?
It's there are so many like nods to Mel Brooks movies that I'm sitting there through the whole movie going, "That's from Brilliant. That's a total Blazing Saddle scene.
No,
awesome. That's a scene from this." And the whole movie, there's all sorts of different scenes where you're just like, "That's it's a total nod from you know one of his other movies."
That's awesome. Yeah.
There's even the scene when because you know it's cats and dogs. There's even a scene with the dog coming into town and someone like. He's a ding. Yeah. I'm just like the whole time. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't expecting it. Amber wanted to go see it. We have the pass and I'm like, whatever. It's not going to cost me anything. It's just 2 hours. And it was amazing. I fucking loved it. The kids would love it and you would be cracking up the whole time.
I still keep trying to get Tosh to give me that pass. And like we went and saw Thor Love and Thunder last week or week before. Yesterday she took all the kids during the day and they went to, it was Minions 3 or whatever. It was
it was funny.
Regal Summertime, not the new Minions, not the Rise of Gru. No. The Regal does that first showing summertime family movie.
Yep.
On what, Tuesday, Wednesdays or something. And so they went and saw that, but I'm like, yeah, give me the pass. I'm like, I would go to so many more movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the voices in this movie. We have Michael Cera.
Yep.
Samuel Jackson, Ricky Gervais.
Which Ricky Gervais is good. I mean, he's okay, but Samuel Jackson, there's so many points where he almost says it.
Then you got Mel Brooks, George Takei, Fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of the big names I'm seeing here.
Yeah, and they're good. I mean, everyone's good. I mean, George Takei's character is hilarious. He does say the "oh my" a couple times, which is of course amazing.
Oh my,
Mel Brooks. Yeah, I mean, he's Mel Brooks.
Yeah, protect that man. Protect that man.
Yeah, but, protect him.
So it got me thinking. Right, the best non-Disney animated movies of all time, and you could do adult ones. You know, Beavis and Butthead Do America, or. I know recently what Bob's Burgers movie just came out, you know, stuff like that. But I'm thinking family movies.
Yeah.
What is on your list? Should I read this list first and we'll see where they are? And
we can. I mean, we can. I mean, there's ones that, you know, of course, are in my brain of Ferngully.
I think Ferngully. Absolutely.
Has to be on there. What's the one? The Nim.
Oh, Secret of the Nymph? Or...
Yeah, Secret of the Nymph or whatever it was. Yeah. That was another one. But those are ones from our generation that I just
like. I really think of this one, too, Land Before Time.
That
first
was a weird one because, we were about 11. You were actually little. You were 10.
I was 9.
Nine. Yeah, I forget I'm older. But, yeah, I mean, that was still one that, you know, we watched. But I remember more my nieces and nephews watching that.
Well, your siblings
But my nieces and nephews are only 8.
Your siblings are 65 years old now.
Younger than me, so they would have been, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen The Road to El Dorado.
It wasn't that good.
So that's what they have for number 2.
Not that good. Spirited Away, I mean, yeah.
I'm not sure I ever saw that. Prince of Egypt, nothing for me. Let's see here. Number 5, Anastasia. Yeah.
I never watched that one either.
Samantha used to like it. The Page Master is pretty good.
I didn't like it.
Well, it's better than the live action.
There was a live action?
Hey, I'm Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, I thought he was just the voice of the kid.
The Swan Princess.
Another one I never really saw. And if you look at all these are early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. American Tail, of course, you know.
Fievel. You got American Tail, and then you got American Tail, Fievel Goes West.
Somewhere out there. Oh, sorry.
The Iron Giant.
It was okay. Well, it's still not one of my favorites.
Ice Age. So that's the top 10. And they haven't got to a lot of movies I think of.
No.
In my top.
And a lot of those I don't even consider.
So Ice Age is pretty funny, but
yeah,
I'm not sure. Maybe number 10, maybe they actually have that one located right. I don't agree with necessarily Land Before Time number 1, but I agree with Land Before Time in the top 10.
It should be in the top 10.
And I agree with Fievel in the top 10. Now we're done.
I mean, I agree with those three in the top 10. The other ones, I mean, Iron Giant was okay, but no, I don't think it's top 10.
So we both mentioned Ferngully already.
Oh, yeah.
Spirit? Spirit's crap.
And that, I don't even think that's the first one.
Yeah, that's the first one.
Oh, is it? I don't know. They were all bad.
This is one of Tasha's favorites, the Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barbie as Rapunzel. That's number 13.
How the fuck is that on the list?
That's number 13.
Who made this list and how high were they?
This is from BuzzFeed. How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, 14. Probably properly placed.
Princess Mononoke. That's a specialty. But that's a niche one. Just like the Spirited Away. Princess Mononoke and Spirited Away are very niche.
Yeah.
They're niche. You've got to, if you're not, yeah.
Rise of the Guardians. Never seen it. Thumbelina. Megamind. So far we're 18 movies in. We probably have 6 DreamWorks movies.
Yeah.
And we have no Shrek yet.
Yeah. I mean, that should be that. I would think Shrek would be in the top 10. How in the hell is Barbie still in there? There's another Barbie.
Barbie and the 12 Dancing Princesses. Now, this is probably my number one, or at least top three, Robots.
It's good. I could say, I would say top 10, but I mean, still, I don't know if I'd go number one. But I mean,
I watch it all. I watch at least once a month, still.
Yeah.
The cast in Robots for a non-Disney film is fucking crazy. I mean, especially 2005, you kind of have the who's who of who. You have Halle Berry, you have Terry Bradshaw, but you have Mel Brooks, Amanda Bynes, Drew Carey, Jennifer Coolidge, Will Denton, Paul Giamatti, James Earl Jones, Greg Kinnear, Jay Leno, Natasha Lyonne, Ewan McGregor, Al Roker, Stephen Tobolowsky, Stanley Tucci, Diane Wiest, Robin Williams, Harlan Williams. I love it. I love it. Just like we like Batty in Ferngully.
Oh, yeah.
Him as, oh, my God, why did I just lose his name?
Robin Williams?
Well, Robin Williams, but the character he plays in that. Fender is fucking amazing. Mel Brooks' Big Weld is fucking amazing. All right, so we have that. Now we go to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the movie from 98.
Okay, BuzzFeed, I've never been happy with BuzzFeed for most things, but this is dumb. The next one, Princess and the Goblin, I've never even heard of.
Yeah, me either. Me either. The Little Fox, 1981. No clue. Ferngully, number 24.
Wow.
Love Ferngully. Another Barbie. Barbie of Swan Lake.
I mean, who wrote this shit?
Tom and Jerry, the movie, 92. Quest for Camelot. The Last Unicorn. Barbie as the Princess and the Pauper. Little Nemo, Adventures in Slumberland.
Never even heard of that either.
Cats Don't Dance.
Never heard of it.
There's the Secret of Nim.
Wow.
Which is a good movie, number 32. And All Dogs Go to Heaven, which was really sad, but another good movie.
Yeah, Dom DeLuise is amazing.
That's
movie.
The end of their list. We have no
Last
Shrek.
Unicorn, though. The Last Unicorn's a good movie, but it's very niche, too. I mean, it's trippy, weird. You have to smoke a lot of weed before you really get into that one.
I wanted to see, we recently asked the BuzzFeed community to tell us their favorite non-Disney animated films. Here are the wholesome results. So this came from people who read BuzzFeed.
Well, people need to get better freaking people.
Okay, the very first comment, where's Shrek?
Yeah.
Where's Shrek 2, one of the best fucking... oh, my God. What do you call a number two movie? Sequel. One of the best sequels.
See, what's weird is I looked up one and I found Den of Geek. And, I mean, they're a little closer, but, I mean, still, I mean, they've got number... They're 19. Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. Never heard of that in 2014. Thumbelina, of course. Like I said, that's what my wife calls my penis. A Troll in Central Park. That was an interesting one. Pippi Longstocking from 97. Eight Crazy Nights is their number 15.
Now, I struggled calling that one necessarily a family movie. I love it.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that one in the list because I was thinking family.
Yeah. And
but
then Quest
you're
for
right.
Camelot, 98. King and I, 99. A bunch of weird ones. The Swan Princess in 94. Never heard of it. Rio. Well, the Rio wasn't bad. That was one with the birds.
Yeah. You know
Wacko's
what else?
Wish.
Madagascar's not up there.
Oh, yeah. No shit. It's not. Wacko's Wish, man.
Yeah, I'm not unfamiliar with that one.
You know who Wacko is.
Yeah. From Animaniacs, right?
Yeah. 1999, there was a movie, Wacko's Wish. I remember it kind of. It was them. They're amazing. The Pemble and the Penguin. All Dogs Go to Heaven. Ferngully's number 7.
You know,
American
here's ones
Tale
I didn't think
6.
Of. Coraline.
Oh, 5th. South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut.
Yeah, so if we wanted to get an adult, I love that movie.
Yeah, 4, Nightmare Before Christmas. But that's kind of, is that animation? I mean, I guess it is animation. Stop.
Yeah.
Motion animation. 3, Anastasia. 2, The Prince of Egypt. And 1, The Road to El Dorado. I feel like I need to go watch that again because how is it? Yeah.
So far, I know it's not old enough necessarily, but Trolls. No
yeah.
Trolls up there. No Despicable Me's up there.
No.
I will kill anybody in my way that wants to fight me on this, but the Transformers original movie is fucking amazing.
I mean, I even sent you the thing about Prime Day.
I know.
I saw that and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta send this to Matt.
That was the first movie I ever cried at.
I know.
That movie is why I Hot Rod's like my top 2 Transformers.
Yeah.
That movie was just, it still holds up. It's still a really good written movie. Yes, it's about robots and based off the cartoon, but when you get into the storyline of the movie, you know, if you changed a few details and ran the same storyline into human form, it would still be amazing.
Yeah.
Personal favorite of mine would be G.I. Joe, the movie. That's when we first got to meet Sergeant Slaughter and his Marauders. And then you had Burgess Meredith. And what?
Nothing. Just, yeah, Sergeant Slaughter.
And his mercenary Marauders.
God.
Listen,
Megan. When he went bad.
Yeah, when he teamed up with the Sheik.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so many crap movies.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's a lot of these where I see stuff and I'm like, how? Where do you come up with this list? I mean,
what list are you looking at?
I was looking at Den of Geek.
Hey, so IMDb has one here.
Yeah, and I just brought that one up too, and I'm just wondering, I think it's just a list of movies because I don't think this
100 non-Disney animated movies.
I think it's just got to be a list of movies because, I mean, it's like, it goes Anastasia, number 1, Titan A.E.
So Screen Rant has the top 10. Here's the top 10 from... Screen Rant. Maybe a little bit more movie-based, blah, blah, blah. Number 10. Oh, no, sorry, that's a new list. Number 10, yeah. Over the Hedge.
That was pretty good, even though I had my kid running around, where's my nuts, for fucking 2 years. Don't you remember that? Like, right after the movie came out, Ben would run around all the time. Where's my nuts?
I don't, but I'm sad I don't. Oh, that's awesome.
Just randomly, all of a sudden, you'd be doing something, just suddenly, like, turn to look at you and scream out, where's my nuts?
So, yeah. Okay, that's a good start.
It is.
Number 9, Wallace and Gromit, some of my favorite.
Yeah.
Claymation, I know it's a form of animation. I don't know if I would count it necessarily when I'm talking about Disney-esque movies.
Yeah.
Right? But I love Wallace and Gromit. I think of this, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, I think of Chicken Run was also done by the same people.
Yep. They're definitely a different style, and they have a different type of comedy. So,
Spirited Away.
Yeah,
this again looks Japanimation
it's
or
very
anime
niche. It's Japanese.
So number 7, Madagascar.
Yeah,
which I enjoy Madagascar.
Oh, I love it.
Coraline.
I never actually watched that.
It's basically the prequel to The Corpse's Bride, right?
I think so, but I never watched that either.
So I've never seen this, but I've heard really good things about it. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
It's hilarious. It's just, yeah, so dumb. It's one of those movies that's so fucking dumb that you have to laugh.
Ice Age.
Of course, that's good.
Despicable Me. Mm-hmm. How to Train Your Dragon. And then number 1, Shrek 2. I told you, Shrek 2 is the best of the Shreks.
It is pretty good.
At like 20 years old, I wore out my VHS tape.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still doesn't have some of them we're thinking of, but a much better list. I didn't see one fucking Barbie movie.
No. And those all seem to be, I mean, not some, but a lot newer. You know, it's more of like, you know, those were like in the last 20 years.
Yeah. You know, I get the Jetsons movie not being on there, to be honest. It was pretty bad.
Oh, it was.
When Tiffany plays Judy Jetson.
Yeah.
You know, but I was just, I got thinking about it. And yeah, I think my top 5. If you made me say right now, not in any particular order, I won't put it in any particular order, but my top 5 is probably Shrek 2, Robots, Transformers. Ooh. Well, I got my top 3.
See, it's tough sometimes when you have to go past that.
If I said Shrek 2, are we throwing the whole Shrek series in it?
I mean, you don't have to. I mean, they're different movies.
I mean, Shrek 1 is really good, too. It's just not as good as Shrek 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd throw Shrek up there. And then, like we said, Ferngully.
Yeah.
You know? I think anything Rob Williams touches is fucking visual and vocal gold.
Oh, yeah. And that's the hard part, you know, when you go to non-Disney movies. I mean, I have to think about it. I mean, for me, it's one of those things, too, because I do like some of the anime, but some of those anime get a little violent, not really kids. So, I mean, Akira is one of my favorites, but that's not really a kid movie.
Yeah. And you know. I've never watched anime. I don't like the style of animation.
Yeah.
I don't like that cut, you know. I've never really liked it. It's why I've even struggled going back and rewatching Voltron, and I love Voltron, but just that style of animation, especially that early Japanimation that they sent over.
Oh yeah,
it was tough for me to watch. But you know, like you get into adult movies, like you said, you got Eight Crazy Nights. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the South Park one.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't such a huge fan of the Beavis and Butthead.
It was funny, but I mean, it wasn't a huge... I mean, it was Beavis and Butthead, just a longer version.
Yeah, but I was starting to dwindle on Beavis and Butthead when...
Oh, yeah.
When the movie came out. I was starting to tire of them already.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
You know.
But South Park, that the funniest thing on South Park, I can remember because Amber never really watched South Park and was never a big fan of South Park. So she bought Tyler.
I think I remember this.
Better Uncut when he was like 9.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah. And me and you both, I think when she told us, we're like, let's watch it first. And then you can decide if you want to give it to him. And we watched it. And in the first like 5 minutes, they go in that whole freaking tirade of the Uncle Fucker song. And she's like, Like, have you watched the goddamn movie before you give it to the kid? Now it's mine and I can watch it. That was the real purpose. I just wanted it for myself.
I was just going to play that because that's one of my favorites.
Like I said, I just wanted it for myself because it was freaking amazing. That show, it does crack me up. Rick James Dio. Interesting.
Did you get my Rickroll?
Yes, I did. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Turn it upside down and see what it is.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're a cock-sucking, ass-licking Uncle Fucker. You're an Uncle Fucker. Yes, it's true. Nobody fucks uncles quite like you.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. You're the one that fucked your uncle, Uncle Fucker. You don't eat or sleep or mow the lawn. You just fuck your uncle all day long.
What's going on, Terrence and Phillips?
A couple of those sounded kind of wet.
Yeah. That movie cracked me up. The whole Saddam shit, the Blame Canada.
Yeah.
Like
Saddam and the gay sex with the devil. Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. I don't know if you would count it in the movie category, but you had the Family Guy Star Wars stuff.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if they were ever in theaters, but it was definitely like a DVD movie.
Yeah, they did make them into like DVD movies. Those were pretty good too, yeah.
DVDs, kids, are the shiny disc things that your parents have still.
Yeah, I still have a whole fucking wall of them.
Yeah, me too.
And I still buy them.
I wish. I don't have any. I mean, I have a player, but Tosh got me the new Spider-Man when it first came out.
Yeah.
It's still in the cellophane.
Yeah, I would say we have the PS5, and the PS5 will play them.
Yeah, I bought a Blu-ray player, and we got the Xbox One, and, you know, all that shit will play, but I honestly, she got me the thing, and the DVD, and I looked when it was coming out on TV, and I'm like, yeah, I'll just wait till July 15th.
Yeah. Well, that's the hard part, because there's a couple of them that I've seen, you know, that some of the DVDs that I have are movies that you can't like find on any streaming service. So every once in a while, I'll buy the DVD because I'll look for it on a streaming service and I can't find it.
Yeah.
So like I have one of the Robin Williams movie that's like one of my favorites, the, you know, Island, whatever the crazy one that he does. And it's nowhere. You can't find it on any streaming service. So the only place I could find it was I had to actually buy it.
Yeah. Same with like Dogma.
Yeah.
It's the same way. You can't find a copy.
That one, that is the one out of all the Kevin Smith to hold up.
I wonder if that was probably a big thing with Miramax, would be my guess.
Could be.
And Weinstein's got the lock on it. I don't get it, but yeah, I thought we'd talk about.
It's always been one of my favorite. Like that's probably out of all the movies, that's the one that probably brought me into Kevin Smith and actually made me watch the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, we've hit that.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah.
You know, it's a great movie, but it's top 3 comedy all time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
like right now, if I just looked it up on Amazon, the cheapest DVD is $40.
For Dogma?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have 2 copies. I have the regular one, and then I have the special edition autographed by
Fern Gully, like we said. Secrets of NIMH is another one. It's really tough to get past that one, though. Those are the two that really stick out in my brain. But, I mean, if we start going with, like, South Park, yes. The Simpsons movie.
Oh. And we didn't even add that one in, did we?
No. The Simpsons movie would be another one. There's just because I remember watching it with Benton and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, it's... Yeah.
I kept waiting for you to bring up, like, Team America.
But that's puppets.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was horrible.
It was horrible.
Yeah. I didn't care for it, but...
I've seen it, like, once and then never watched it again because I'm like, yeah, that wasn't, yeah.
Okay, so we're off on that. But we brought it up. Top three comedies. All time.
Oh, that's a toughie. I mean, Spaceballs.
Ooh.
You got to, I mean, space, and it's tough because, I mean,
you're an asshole.
It sounds bad. I'm just going to name off all Mel Brooks's movies. I mean, Spaceballs, Blazing Saddles. You know, I just watched Young Frankenstein with Amber and Benton recently. I freaking sat there the whole time about pissing myself on the couch, just forgetting how funny. And then watching the outtakes, because I have the one with the outtakes, and they're doing that one scene where he freaking, like, bites the freaking, her, the freaking, whatever, her scarf thing. Yeah. Help me with the bags. Yeah, you take that one, I'll take this one. Yeah, I mean, it...
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's just so it's tough. Like I said, I can pretty much name. There's like only one or two Mel Brooks movies that I wouldn't put on the list, you know. And then you have
High Anxiety.
Yeah, it's not a big one.
I liked High Anxiety, but
it's not a big one on my list. And Life Stinks isn't a big one.
I like Life Stinks.
Yeah, I don't know why that one's not a big one on my list.
Is it because Mel's the leading character in it?
It's not bad. It's just not one of my favorites. I mean, it's not up there with Blazing Saddles you know, those ones. But I mean, and there's so many others. I mean, you know, Robin Hood, Men in Tights. I mean,
I love The Producers.
The Producers. This is my dad a chew.
My son a sneeze.
A sneeze because he died. I'm drowning.
What's your name? A chew. Bless you. No, that's my name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tights. Yeah. I mean, there's so many of those that you could just, I mean, so many. And I mean, I'm just trying to get, and then Robin Williams, I mean, just about anything he's in. I mean, when it comes to the comedies, like I said, but my favorite Robin Williams is the, you know, the, and I can't remember the name of it, Club Paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think my favorite is Blazing Saddles.
Oh, of course.
By far.
Where are the white women at?
It's one of the smartest written comedies that is still socially aware 40 plus years later.
Yeah.
Like, you could watch that and go, oh my God, like, this is the same shit. I mean, you change Hedy Lamarr's name to somebody else and you're in.
Yep.
And I guess kids today wouldn't know what the wild, wild world of sports is, but what in the wild, wild world of sports is going on around here?
What I mean, and there's just so many different, you know, I mean, so many different nods in that movie where, I mean, it's just, he sits there the whole time and Mel Brooks, I mean, was so great about writing and everything else in that movie that it's... You're laughing your ass off, but at the same time, you're like, it's fucked that this is even, like, really could it be a thing.
Yeah.
You know, the sheriff's like, ding. You know, yeah, I mean.
What did he say? I think he said the sheriff is near. No, goddamn it.
Mongo. Yeah.
Well, as I'm your host and you're my guest, what be your pleasure? What do you like to do? Drink, play chess, and screw. Let's play chess. Are you awake? I don't know. Are you black? Yes. Well, then I am awake, but I am very confused.
This is my shooting head.
You really are a Waco kid.
God damn.
Oh, I could quote that fucking movie all day long. Yeah. Why don't like we give him to Mongo?
That's why you really got to see Pause of Fury, because there's so many different parts where things happen. And you're like, oh my God, that is a nod to, you know, one of the characters. I'm like, please God, tell me their name's Mongo. It was something else, but I'm like, that is fucking Mongo.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I fucking love it. I love that movie. They darker than we are. Oh. So that's my number one by far. Number two is Dogma. It's just so intellectually well written. I mean, it really is. And the hypocrisy with religion they do, that is so spot on, but done in a funny way. And Alan Rickman as the Metatron was fucking phenomenal. Alanis Morissette as God. I just saw a clip. I think he was on the Howard Stern show. He was on some serious radio show. Dave Coulier finally admitted that song was about him.
It's about time. I think my favorite part in Dogma, I think the part that, like, one of those things where it has you on the edge of your seat almost laughing the whole time, where you are laughing, but the one that got me the most, and it sounds so stupid, was the boop. Mm-hmm. When Alanis Morissette's just sitting there and everything, and he's like giving her, and she just reaches out and boop.
Yep.
I'm just like, what the fuck?
I mean, for God's sakes, it's our first good look at fucking, the Muse. What the hell is her real name? Selma Hayek. Yeah.
No, we saw her. She was in Desperado.
Did that come out first?
Might have. I don't know.
Well, let's find out.
See, now I want the Dogma DVD. I don't know. Maybe I have it. I think I might have it. But if I spend $40 on that, Amazon's going to shoot me.
Dogma 99. Oops. I can't add Desperado to Dogma and have it spell a word.
Why not? Desperado was 95.
Okay.
I mean, not to say that. I mean, she was amazing in both, and then she was also in Dust Till Dawn.
And then, I mean, Jason Lee as Asriel.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. The whole movie, just fucking amazing.
Oh, it was.
And then I was thinking of number three, and you're right.
She was in Dust Till Dawn was before Dogma 2 in 96.
Oh. There you go. Was she a stripper in any of those?
In Dust Till Dawn. Have you not seen Dust Till Dawn?
It's been so long.
Where she's dancing on the table with the snake and almost half naked. Oh. I mean, geez
all
Louise,
like,
man.
All I can for whatever reason, all I remember from Dust Till Dawn is Cheech Marin as the bartender. Like, that's what sticks out in my head when I think of Dust Till Dawn.
You fight cheaper pussy? Fuck it. Yeah, that's.
And then my number three, speaking of Cheech, my number three all-time favorite comedy is Still Smoking.
Yeah, and see, this is the hard part when you ask a question like this, because now you're like naming them all. I'm like, fuck, how the hell didn't I say that one?
And it's completely selective, objective.
It is, but you forget. Like, the second you ask the question, you're like, oh, Jesus, you know? Yeah.
But when I think of movies, like, I can remember watching both Up and or Still Smoking and Blazing Saddles young, like, before teen years, young. And that molded me into the type of comedy I wanted.
Yeah.
Kind of dirty and raunch and, you know.
Yeah.
And then as you get a little bit older and you're still watching it, there's no intellectual property in the Cheech and Chong movie. So we'll throw that one out. But you get Blazing Saddles that has the intellectual kind of deeper cut shit. Still funny, but you're like, oh, that's relevant. And then you hit Dogma with the same thing. I mean, there's lots of just slapstick comedies, you know, like you said, anything, a lot of shit by Robin Williams. But sadly, a lot of my favorite Robin Williams movies are his more dramatic. All his movies have funny parts to it.
They do.
Except maybe 8mm.
No. That one's weird.
No, it wasn't 8mm. It was photo booth or something like that. That's what it was, yeah. 8mm.
But it's like, you know, my favorites, like we've said before in Robin Williams, I love Club Paradise, and then my second favorite is The Fisher King.
See, and mine's probably Patch Adams.
That's a good one.
Loved Patch Adams. Mrs. Doubtfire's up there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just watched that the other night. It was on TV. I was like, well, we're stopping here. And, yeah, I love Patch Adams. I love Miss Doubtfire. Cadillac Man is a highly underrated one with him and fucking Michael J. Fox. You know, really good. Dead Poets Society, really good.
Another good one, yeah.
What Dreams May Come, really good. Kind of fucked up, but really good.
He had a few of those, but I think that's one of the things. I think like Fisher King, What Dreams May Come, stuff like that. I think those are the ones that I, and it sounds bad to say this, but I think they were more his mind than the other ones.
Oh, 100%.
Because it's like, you know, one of those things, we know enough comedians that usually that fun slapstick, yay, attitude you get from a comedian, that's their defense mechanism. Yeah. The real brain inside is completely dark and dark and stormy. Like
100%. You know, and I think Fisher, that's why those are my favorite Robin Williams movies.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if I think of his comedies, like my favorite's probably Aladdin. Like, I love Aladdin, and Robin Williams steals the fucking show in that, yeah. You know. I also really like, when you get into slap, I love Jim Carrey movies. The first Ace Ventura, fantastic. Dumb and Dumber, fantastic. You know, yeah. And then even some of his more serious stuff. That was funny. Like, fucking The Man on the Moon was amazing.
It was, but I think the one thing with that was that it was still crazy.
But well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't necessarily a comedy movie.
Yes.
You know, and he went full on crazy for it. He went full Andy Kaufman. You watch some of the behind the scene documentaries on that. He was Tony Clifton. He never got out of costume the whole time making that movie.
But that's what made him great.
Yeah.
That's what makes him great. And he's one of those, you know, I like him, but I mean, there's times too that some of his movies get a little.
Oh, he's got some fucking duds.
That's why he does the insane movie or the serious movies to show, hey, I'm not just this guy.
He's got Cable Guy's a fucking dud.
Oh, yeah.
We've all talked. Both the Sonics are really good.
Mm-hmm.
What else has he done that's a. I really like The Majestic. It didn't get a whole lot of, you know.
I don't think I saw that one.
He's like coming home from war and he gets a car accident. And I believe it's like his ghost coming back, but he thinks he's alive. And he's reliving his whole life. And it's really good.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Liar Liar is a really funny movie.
Yes.
You know. Yeah, he's got Adam Sandler, same way. Got a lot of really funny movies. His
but then
now,
every once in a while,
he's got a lot of. He started with a fucking dud.
Oh, yeah.
Going Overboard. Yeah.
Which is funny because we all own that movie.
I know. I have two copies.
I own it too. I was looking through it and I'm like, wrong Overboard.
Because Tosh had one when we got together and I had one.
Yeah.
And we had two movies the same, that and Out Cold.
And see, Out Cold is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like I said, Little Nicky to me was a shit movie. I couldn't stand Little Nicky.
I think it's the voice. That voice he does to the whole movie. I just want to kick him in the dick.
To me, Mr. Deeds was kind of half and half.
Yeah.
To me, my favorite part, I think, of Mr. Deeds isn't even Adam Sandler. It's either Steve Buscemi, the crazy-eyed guy, or... Nick Turturro, or John Turturro, sorry. As the butler. I don't know why, but he cracks me up through that whole movie.
Yeah.
You know, but now Sandler's stuff is more serious and also really good.
Yeah.
You know, that's a guy who went, he's done it all from regular comedy romantic comedies to really fucked up B films like Punch Drunk Love and, you know, to like Hustle, which is, I don't know what you want to call it, drama maybe.
Yeah, weird. That's what I call it.
Yeah, I liked Hustle. But yeah, so I mean there's, you know, there's other good comedies out there. Half Baked. I loved Half Baked.
Yeah, it was okay.
I'm a big drunk Broken Lizard fan.
Oh, I love Broken Lizard, but that was just not one of my favorites. I mean,
but they put out some fucking duds too.
Yeah.
The Slappin' Salmon, is that what it was called?
I think so.
Something like that was fucking horrible. Puddle Cruisers was fucking horrible. Beer Fest was amazing.
Yes.
Oh, God. The State Patrol one.
Oh, Super Troopers.
Super Troopers was amazing.
It was. The second one was more kind of like some of these other ones we've talked about before, more nostalgia. If it wasn't for the nostalgia of Super Troopers, the second one was like, whoa.
Yeah, I don't think it drew in any new fans.
No, it was one of those. If you weren't already a fan, you were going to hate it. Amber hated it, but she doesn't like Super Troopers, so.
Well, she's
dumb. Yeah, I know. Her taste is questionable. She married me.
Super Troopers is. Well, that questionable taste marrying you should make her like Super Troopers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Super Troopers is amazing.
Yeah. What was the other one they did?
Dukes of Hazzard?
I think that was just Jay. I don't think that was a Broken Lizard movie. Hmm. I think just Jay wrote that. And he's got quite a few things he's written and directed on his own. But what other Broken Lizard films are there?
Wasn't there an island one, like Zombie Island or something?
Club Dread.
Club Dread, there you go.
Club Dread is not a good movie, but it's fucking awesome.
It's one of those, it's like, you know, everyone makes fun of me because I like Street Fighter. It's the stupidest fucking movie, but god damn it, it's like my guilty pleasure.
Oh, they had a stand-up TV special.
Did they?
Yeah.
In 2000, what the hell was Puddle Cruiser?
Puddle Cruisers was their college project.
Okay.
And it's not. I actually own it on DVD. But.
Is it bad?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all. Like, at all.
I mean, I do have to say, because it's like, you know, Tacoma FD is not Broken Lizard, but it's the two.
Yeah, it's Lemmy and. Yeah.
Which. Tacoma FD cracks me up.
Why can't I think of Farber's real name?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't think of... Why can't I think of fucking Farber's?
I don't know. Jay, Kevin, Steve, Paul, Eric. Which one is he? I don't remember. Farber... Oh, god damn it. I just said their first name. I didn't say their last one. Huh, I don't know.
Nick just sent me a message.
Kevin Heffernan.
Oh, you're on it. Do you know anything about this?
What?
Check your Twitter messages.
Am I in trouble?
No. He sent me a screenshot of... I don't even know who these people are. That there's some type of comedy beef, Seattle-Tacoma comedy beef going on. And I don't even know who these people are.
No.
What kind of comedy beef we got? How was the Firehouse, speaking of comedy?
Very weird crowd this time. They were like, they were there for the comedy, but they wouldn't shut the fuck up. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, the comedians were great, but it's a new new venue. People just don't completely understand what to do. Like they were there. They're like, we're here for the comedy. This is going to be amazing. And then it's like the people that were like so excited that there was going to be comedy, like the whole time when it shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, see, I think so many people watch like Steve Hossiter. Oh man, the Middle Eastern guy, the Indian guy who does a shit ton of crowd work.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
He's super funny, but I think people watch these guys on YouTube and TikTok and shit like that and think if they talk, they'll be a part of the show and not realize that that's a specialty. Like, not yeah. every comic does crowd work. Not every comic wants to do crowd work. There's a lot of comics that if they do crowd work, you're not going to be fucking happy because they're not going to be fucking nice.
No.
It's not going to be fun and games. Right?
Yeah. And this was one of those ones that, I mean, it wasn't even like they were talking to the comedians. They were just talking to themselves.
Oh.
Talking to each other at the table. So that's what made it even worse. It's like, okay. They would like stop from him and be like, ha, that's funny. And then go right back to talking. And it's like you just like wanted to throw shit at him.
Oh.
So I think what the beef is right now is I think it's over. Nate Jackson has a comedy competition going on right now, and it's what's happening there. So I think that's where the beef's coming out.
Oh.
Because one of the people on there was an older lady who like just had pasties on. So
I did read a post about that this morning.
What the fuck?
That's awesome. So. Dude, whatever your fucking niche is.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, whatever. Yeah, just whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I was trying to see if I could see something that was on here, but.
I mean, you don't see anybody bitching that Bert's shirtless in all his stand-up. You know. Nobody bitched when Brad Brake got down into a fucking thong.
No, people bitch. They just, no one cared.
Other comedians didn't bitch.
Yeah.
Other comedians went, fuck, I wish I had what he had. I wish I could get hired and banned from 300 comedy clubs nationwide.
Hey, I mean, hey, why not?
You know, which is really the key.
I don't know. I'm curious on what the hell's happening.
I also heard today that Deadpool 1 and 2 and Logan are now the first rated R movies on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I did see that. Ryan Reynolds posted that. He said there should be other ones as rated R for giving drama, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I was looking at this list right here. Beauty and the Beast. That was pretty funny. Dumbo. Fox and the Hound, 101 Dalmatians, Aladdin, and The Great Mouse Detective.
Why The Great Mouse Detective?
I don't know. Huh. I'm trying to remember that movie.
It was weird.
Yeah, I don't recall it, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know what the whole fuss is at the moment, but I'm sure it's something stupid.
I just like the drama from afar.
I try and stay out of it. That's one of the things. Like, I just go and do the shows I want to do when I want to do them and try and stay out of the drama because it's just like, yeah, it's... You start getting the drama, it stops being fun, and that's when I'm like, yep, I'm out.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be the first time that I said I'm out and walked away, so.
Nope, I hear you. Sometimes it's not worth the headache to go with it.
No.
So.
It's not.
It is what it is. But. Yeah. So let's stick with comedy there. Your next show's booked?
Yes.
And?
You would ask me these questions. It is freaking hell. I was just looking it up, and then you got me confused on this whole other thing, and now I freaking lost it. It is with Todd Royce, headlining on August 3rd at Cole Street Brewery with Mike Hansen featuring, and Jess Anderson will be the host.
Very nice.
It'll be a fun show. It'll be a fun one. It's one of Todd's last. He's getting ready to move to Vegas. So
well,
it was supposed to be his last, but now his push to Vegas has moved back a month. So
okay. I actually watched Todd's live stream today on TikTok as he's setting up his next tour. So, and then what about the Firehouse?
The Firehouse, I do have that one set, I think. I was having some problems setting that one up, but that is, see, you can ask me these questions right when I closed it. Killing me, man. Killing me. This is great radio. Good thing it's not radio, it's podcasts. Robert Moore
Cash
with featuring Brandon White and hosted by Chris Moss.
Okay.
So, and that'll be the whatever that second Thursday is.
I'm a big fan of Robert Moore.
Oh yeah, so am I.
your headliners sound fantastic. Mike Hansen, I really like Mike Hansen too. I'm not familiar with the other one, so I'm not saying I don't like them because I don't know, but yeah.
The Jess Anderson's new, so is Brandon White's a newer one, but I know he can do a little bit of time. So he's a bigger guy. He always gets mistaken for Kevin and Todd Royce. So.
I see you got a theme. Are you trying to get these guys out of the house in the heat? Help them out a little bit? Yeah.
Just help them out, get them moving around a little bit. So
how's it pronounced? Ragnar?
Yeah, Ragnar.
Ragnar.
Ragnar. It was interesting. It's a very interesting one because it ends up being almost 33 hours. And it starts at the border and you run all the way down to, what is it, freaking Clinton, wherever the ferry is right there at the end of Whidbey Island. So you go all the way down and each person runs like a certain whatever leg. The van goes ahead of them, picks them up, drops off the next runner. And there's like a little bracelet that we passed off the whole way. But the hard part for me, I didn't sleep. I couldn't fall asleep in the car. I was having problems sleeping, like, because there's two different vans. So occasionally you get like a 6-hour break where you don't have to drive. You don't have to do anything while the other vans, all their runners are going. But I couldn't fall asleep. I couldn't find a good place to sleep. So I ended up spending like 33 hours not sleeping and then running. So,
yeah.
But it was fun. I ran the very last leg. So I got to finish it off, which was kind of cool. But,
very nice.
I mean, it's definitely something I might do again.
So. This is your second time, right? With this one?
No, it's my first time doing the Ragnar.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to do it last year, but there was an issue and I wasn't able to. So.
But. So how many miles did you run?
I ran a total of about 20.
So. 20 in 33 hours? Yeah, that's about what I would do it in. Yeah.
So, yeah, I started off... trying to remember. I don't remember what my first leg was. It was a little bit shorter. My middle leg was 9 hours in the middle of the night. So I started at like 3 a.m. and then had to run 9 hours. And I was kind of mad.
9 hours,
I was hoping, I thought I had, what's that?
9 hours or 9 miles?
9 miles. Okay. 9 miles at 3 a.m. But I thought I had the leg that was before me because that one you got to run across the Deception Pass Bridge. In the middle of the night.
No thanks.
I was like, I want that one. But I was actually it was runner 11, not 12. So I had the wrong one.
Bummer.
So maybe next year.
Well, we went camping while you were running. And nothing exciting. I took Toby golfing on a real course for the first time.
Well, how do you like it?
Real course. It was a par 3, but
yeah.
Halfway through, he's like, Dad, can I get a set of clubs for my birthday? And I was like, that would have been nice to know with more than a week before your birthday. But, you know, his birthday is tomorrow, 8 years old. But I may have to pick him up a set. You know, it won't be.
You know, it might be one of those things. I mean, you can check like Goodwill, stuff like that. You may be able to find a cheap one.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Play It Again Sports. Or I mean, really, those kid sets for his height have like 3 clubs in it, 4 clubs in it, you know. No big deal. They had a set there at the place that we got for him, and I think that's what they had. They had 2 drivers, 2 irons, and a putter. So, he liked it. Araya went with us too, so the 3 of us golfed. That was her first time, like golfing a whole, you know, course.
Yeah.
We've let her jump out while riding with us in the cart and swing a club.
Right on.
Dude, I took her to go hit baseball tonight. Yeah. Baseball season starts the 17th, and she's going to play hardball with the high school boys. And nice. Then she's going to play fast pitch for the school same time. But so a couple days a week now for last few weeks, she's asking me, hey, can you take me go throw some balls to me? Dude, she was parking them 275 today in the
nice.
Air, just smashing. But then she was only hitting about 2 out of every 10. But everyone she hit, she smashed. So I don't know if she's turning into Jay Buhner.
Yeah.
You know.
That not a great average, but he could crush him.
Yep. Or what, but. So yeah, we're getting excited for that. But I will put it out there now. We will not have a show next week.
Okay.
I'm in L.A. All week long.
Yeah, so you probably won't have power.
Do they not have power right now?
I don't know. Everything I keep seeing from everyone I know that's gone down there for something is rolling blackouts. So.
Oh, well, I'm actually going to Corona.
Oh, so you're going to get sick.
In California. No, I'm not going to coronavirus. I'm going to... Although, fuck, the way it's going
make
right
sure
now...
Make sure you get your electric car.
The way it's going now with this new variant, everybody I know that's left the state has come back with it.
Yeah.
I've had, like... my father-in-law, mother-in-law, they went to Minnesota and came home with it.
Which, how are they doing?
Much better.
Good, good, good.
Actually, I'm sure they're frowning on me right now.
That's normal.
About 2 minutes before you popped on to record, Tosh walked in and goes, my mom just called. So our van's been parked over there, you know, since it broke mm-hmm. down last year. And, I guess the cops came by and tagged it today for pickup for tow.
Wow, it took them a while.
It's on their fucking property. Like, I don't know. So she had to go over there and go get it moved. And I'm on here with you.
Well, so I mean, it's not the first time her parents have frowned on you.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they've been frowning on her for marrying you, but...
Probably.
Probably, no.
Probably, so... Who cares? But yeah,
I mean,
so
you gave him two great grandkids, two amazing grandkids.
What about the third one?
We're not saying which one's the not good. Come on, never admit to which one's the accident. Oh no,
we know who the accident is. It's admitting who the bad one is.
Yeah, we want to admit that one.
Speaking of, I saw Samantha on Tuesday.
How's she doing?
Good, good. She got a new job. She's nice. Out of the animal field, and she's going into admin for a heart hospital.
Wow.
So
you're probably going to need that eventually. So
yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. She's thinking ahead.
She's super excited about it. So, you know, so it's a little bit more money, but we didn't get a whole lot of time with her. She had to leave Wednesday. Her friend's getting married down in Oregon.
Nice.
So she flew up here. Hung out for the day and then borrowed grandma's car and drove to Oregon Wednesday.
Nice.
And then Steven stayed behind. He's like, I'm not in the wedding. Fuck them. He goes, I was told that the bridesmaid or the groomsmen can't get drunk. He goes, I have a goal once the wedding starts. I'm getting every one of those guys drunk.
so they left him home. So. I mean, not to sound bad, but I'm kind of with Steven on that one. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
That's what I did at my sister's wedding. We weren't supposed to. It was a dry wedding, and I'm like, dry my ass.
So this is
somebody showed up with 5 flasks.
This isn't a dry wedding. The reception will have alcohol, but she has refused to allow the groomsmen to drink. Dude, you should see this bridezilla. Samantha pulled out the itinerary. Every single thing is written down with a specific time. Who's allowed to do what? Like,
oh, I'm out.
Fucking nuts, man. I mean, right down to this weekend, like the bachelorette party, what time to what time they're doing what, when they're coming back, what time they have to be up the next morning to go to brunch, what, you know, how long they have to eat at brunch.
Oh, I would be out. I'd be like, nope, no thank you.
It's fucking nuts, man. Nuts. So, all right, guys. Well, it was a fun show.
It was.
I think anytime we get in movie debates, it turns out pretty good.
It does. I like movie debates.
So, all right. Well, we have comedy. I was going to look up the date, so I wasn't pulling a U.
Uh-huh. August 3rd.
August 3rd at Cole Street Brewery with Todd Royce. And then it would be the 11th, August 11th, at the Firehouse in Ording with Robert Cashmore. Be sure to check those out. Free shows. Free shows. We like that.
Yes. They're fun shows, too.
So, all right, guys. Well, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week. In 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Later.
Later.